Father, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again, we want to say we're very grateful for your kindness toward us in that you drew us after yourself, Lord, and revealed yourself to us, showed us the things of God. And surely, Lord, we know that you are here amongst us, and you set yourself head of the church to raise the dead and to change the living bride into immortality and to take them into the waiting supper, in which we are certainly assured of, Lord, and we know that nothing can change this. It doesn't have anything to do with circumstances anymore. It doesn't have to do with our faith anymore, our crying, our pleading, or anything whatsoever, but it has to do in your sovereign will, for this is that hour. And we are grateful for that, Lord, that it's out of our hands entirely, not that ever was in our hands. But now we come to the place of absolute rest, and at the same time that rest, we know we have an abject undoneness, that there is nothing we can do, and we're absolutely incapable. It's got to be in your hands, Lord. And that helps us a great deal to know that the die has been cast, the thing settled irrevocably. So we come to that place, Lord, where we know in whom we have believed and standing straight on your word. Bless us tonight, Lord, as you go into a message. In Jesus' name we pray, and you may be seated. Now, I don't like to do this, which is to read only half of a message, but it's one of those longer ones. In fact, Brother Branham did take so many long messages, it's almost impossible to take one. Now, the rapture take went very well because we could take it in two sections nicely. This won't be quite so easy. This is a man that can turn on the light. And he reads in Isaiah 42, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry or lift up or cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoking flax he shall not quench. He shall bring forth judgments unto truth. He shall not fail to be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. The island shall wait for his law." And then Brother Branham goes to Matthew 4, the 12th verse. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, leaving Nazareth, came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee, the Gentiles, the people sat in darkness, saw great light. And to them that sat in the regions of the shadows of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, you notice that he goes to Matthew 4, where I go to Matthew 12, because they're both relevant. I take very strong into the Gentiles. We'll go into that later. Now, a little odd text. He really means a topic. There is a man here that can turn on the light. Now, we're going to speak on the subject of light. So that's what we're about to get into tonight. This follows the three subjects we have just been speaking on, one of them in Tucson or at Phoenix, on why Jesus came by way of Bethlehem. He must be because he is Bethlehem. Beth is house, El is God, and Ham is bread, house of God's bread. And each Christian that's born in Christ is born in Bethlehem, God's house of bread. And then in there I was typing David, which was a fugitive at the time of his excommunication from his people. He was turned out, and Bethlehem was besieged, and the Philistines were garrisoned around about Bethlehem. And David, a fugitive, a type of the church today of Christ. See, Christ is a fugitive to his own church today. A fugitive is something that's been refused. David had been refused, yet he was anointed to be king. The prophet had anointed him. And during this time, being a fugitive from his people, he had picked up many gallant Gentiles. One of them killed 800 men one day with a spear or sword. Now, he's typing the Gentiles being picked up, you see, at this time when Christ is literally a fugitive in the sense of being turned away from Israel, came to his own received or not. But rather, he was, they said, both killed and crucified, or crucified and killed our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's picking up a type here without saying much about it, about picking up the Gentiles. One of them killed 800 men one day with a spear or a sword. Another one jumped into a pit and killed a lion on a snowy day. And one was gathering peas or lentils or something, and all the people ran away, and the man stood there killing till his arm got tired. They also killed those giant brothers of Goliath, gallant men holding to David because they knew he was coming in power. They knew no matter what anyone said, God had the anointing on David, and they knew it. They were Gentiles. No matter how much they turned him out, they knew that he was coming to power. He's typing again there the fact that only the Gentiles are looking for the Redeemer. Israel is not looking for the king. Oh, in a general figure, as they look for 2,000 years. What a type is today of Christ a fugitive? You say Christ a fugitive? According to the Bible, God has gallantly taken us through seven church ages. Laodicean church, Christ was a fugitive outside of his church, rejected, trying to get back in again. See, he's a fugitive to his own church. Now, it's repeated again, see. And the reason he's a fugitive is because he is the Word. And they won't let the Word in. They've accepted creeds instead. And that's the same thing he said to the Pharisees in Israel. He said, you have rejected me for your and the Word for your tradition. So you got everything that's an Alpha and Omega situation repeat. And we find out then, in this great struggle, these gallant men around David, these Gentiles. If you notice how Bethlehem was formed, now he says here, and the reason he is a fugitive is because he is the Word, and they won't let the Word in. They've accepted creeds instead. Now, this is something that the average fundamentalist will not receive, because the question comes, they say, well, what Word? Well, the real, true revealed Word. Now, remember, you people don't remember too much about some people, which is just as well. But when Mr. Laurie came over here, he said that Brother Branham brought us back to the Word. He said, because you people in America had left the Word. And he said, but in India, we never did. Now, you see, that's the most presumptuous, stupid statement I've heard in my life. Because, you see, the light, by the time it goes back to India, which it doesn't go back, it's all over. They had their light. Within the first part of the first century, Thomas went over as martyred. That's where the Martoma church comes from. And I, though the man was a good preacher, I was amazed because he used one verse of scripture where I'll use 200. Now, he's an Indian, I'm a Yankee. By adoption, of course, but it doesn't matter. I decided I'd be one, so you folk don't like it to you. The back of my hand. I got my papers to prove it. I paid for mine here, you know, so to speak. But anyway, talking about America, he was wrong. He didn't even know what Brother Branham was doing. As though Brother Branham simply came, as though Christ came, to simply introduce the Word. Now, don't be ridiculous. They had the Word, per se, but they didn't have the revelation of it. So therefore, not having had the revelation, and substituting their own concoction, which made a conglomeration, a hybridization, which is a bastardization of the Word of God, it's out. See, it's the grossest type of darkness there is. Because you could be 99% true and 1% off, it's out. So he said, what Word? Well, the revealed true Word, not a Bible, but the Word made flesh or manifested for this hour. In other words, the one who is becoming, Elohim revealing. Now, if you notice how Bethlehem was formed, Rahab the harlot, her son, was the one who founded Bethlehem. And that's interesting, which is true. Bethlehem was founded by, started by the son born unto Rahab. She married a great general, remember? And he said it was a wheat center, a lot of fine water there. And he founded a little city. And it was the smallest of all cities, cause the prophet said, out of Bethlehem of Judea, aren't you the least of all the princes of cities of Jerusalem or Judea? But out of you, just the same is going to come the governor that'll rule my people. And then he puts, out of the little one. Well, you see, that's the way the bride is. But literally, Christ comes out of the bride in this respect, that the church cannot produce him, but a living bride will. And of course, that living bride will be mingling with those coming out of the ground. But you've got to understand, there is a certain capstoneness, and then you're comparing the expression, but you understand what I mean, because I don't like calling any of us capstones, a capstoneness of the seventh church age, where that sits at the very top where there's a flange, where you have perfect word, perfect ministry, Holy Spirit, which will allow the bride to be formed in a pyramid going up that'll just perfectly take one person, which is the incarnated one. Okay. Now, David, when he was selected up there, the great fine brothers, when the prophet Samuel came to anoint, all of them standing there, great gallant men, looked like would be fine kings, but the very rejected one was David, that had the oil poured out upon him. The rejected city was the one that Jesus came from. See? It's the rejected that Christ picks up. The one that's rejected. That's why there's got to be pressure come upon the bride. You see, they don't even know she's gone out. So what they're going to do, they're going to put her out. Ha! You see what I'm saying? Here you talk about a bunch of bunnies. Carrots won't help one little bit. Then we find after came Obed, and after him came Boaz, and there came another Gentile, which came in by Ruth. Now, she was a Gentile. And out there came Jesse, and out of Jesse come David. And a little hillside stable out there brought forth the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, his spiritual son. And that's the way it's been always. The bride has been rejected. They never realized that really the bride came out. Now, they should be happy that the bride of her own accord got out so they done got rid of it. In other words, the whale didn't have to vomit. Old Jonah just up the ladder and walked out. Nah, not quite. But that's the way it is with the bride. And she's already out. Then why do they want to put her out? See, that's like this business, the Lord descends with the shout. I thought he came down. Hey, up there. No, he's down. See, the bride's already out. It's already out, but they're going to put her out. But what they're going to do is put her out of her living. They're going to try to kill her. Okay. Now, he was David himself being born in the city. He had come to the little spot. Now, Jesus was born there. That's of the least of all places, the rejection. They wouldn't let him in the inn. They kept him out. So then he's born in the stable over a manure heap. Now, David born there himself in that little city, in this little spot. It was called Bethlehem, that means the house of God's bread. And he, that's Christ, is the house of God's bread. And the bride is also, remember, the receptacle, because the house is the receptacle. It doesn't say the house is made out of bread, though it is made out of bread, but it's a house of bread, which means that is the house that contained the bread. Okay, the bride also is made out of bread. She's made out of word, but she's also the house that contains the bread, right? Okay. Now, and David lying there on the hill that day, and he looked down and saw the Philistines garrison round like that, must have got hot and thirsty. And he said, oh, if I could just have a drink from that well once more. Why, the least of his thoughts was a command to them that loved him. So it is today. The least of Jesus' thoughts, or how about his word, should be a command to us Gentiles who love him. For we know he's coming into power no matter how much he's rejected. See? So is the bride. They can kill her, but she'll come back. You know, they always say people come, some things come back to haunt you. So the bride. On the white throne, they'll be sitting there. They won't be, you know, those that are wanting to destroy for the sake of destruction. They won't be bloodthirsty. But they'll have to be there with that word. That's what we're looking at. Okay. For we know he's coming into power no matter how much he's rejected. Heavens and earth will pass away, but this will still reign just the same when all heavens and earth is gone. In other words, the word said about him will go on if it has to make a new world to do it. You ever stop and think of that? Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but his word won't pass away? Then what's the word going to do? It's going to make new worlds. Well, it's got to go somewhere. Right? So we got to go somewhere. Okay, we know he's coming in power because nothing will keep it from happening. This is Christ, the revelation of him. And this is going to happen just the way the word says it is, because he is the word. In other words, there is a predestination here based upon a foreknowledge that you and I are privy to concerning him. Remember, he was in the election, in the predestination, in the foreknowledge, the same as we were, and same as we are. So when you talk about this, there's no way that God would have left us inside or outside of a mystery at the end time. There would have to be revelation. See, because you're coming to the place of an appearing again, and a physical form, and going on. Now, when you talk of Christ the Word, you're dealing with this thought here, perhaps at this very point here, of the fact that there is nothing that is not formed in Christ, or through Christ, or in Christ, that is not in God in the foreknowledge. And that's what you're looking at, see? Alright, he is the Word. Now, at least his commandments, no matter how little it is, if it's to be rebaptized, or whatever it is, we'll do it anyhow. Right. If it's his command, and the least of David's thoughts was a command to those Gentiles, for they are a type of the Gentile church today, gallant men see, those men who stood by David were Gentiles. They were fearless. They didn't know what fear was. One took a sword and killed 800 men. There was an Egyptian warrior run up with a long spear, and this man only had a stick in his hand. He took the stick and knocked the spear out of his hand, took the spear and killed the Egyptian, see? One of these Joe's giants had 14-inch fingers like that. Now, 14-inch fingers. Now, listen here, he said. Your finger is just as long as your hand close, see? Open that up, that'd be 28-inch hand. Pretty powerful filling. But remember, one little stone in the head. You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Caleb knew that. And Caleb's asleep. Okay. One of those guys, 14-inch fingers. It said, now with the spear, jumped right in there and killed him. Why, he was a gallant man, a Gentile, looking upon an anointed one that he knew was coming into power. Then he'd reign with him, wouldn't he? Do you notice those being gallant to David when David came in power? He made them rulers over cities. Didn't Jesus promise the same thing? The same thing, he'll make us rulers. You come back and he said, I'll make you rule over many things, many cities. Rule over many things. Okay. Then in there, when David's desire was to have a fresh drink, he probably had some warm old stagnant water. He said to himself, I'd like to get some fresh water down there at the house of, down at Bethlehem, the house of God's bread, if I only had a drink from that well. And those men pulled their swords and fought 15 miles of Philistines, not because he asked them to, but because they knew he wanted it. That's the water. And they cut those Philistines all the way to the well. While two of them fought, the other one got a bucket of water and fought their way back, all the way back and handed to David. Talk about gallant. David, that godly man, said, God forbid I drink it from these friends that put their lives in jeopardy. And he made a drink offering, poured it upon the ground to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. He's the only one worthy of that, not me. Now, he got the same thing right today again, see? Now, a very type of Christ himself with his own eternal life within him, but smitten rock, poured his life upon the ground as a sin offering for us that the Word could live. And that's true. The Word couldn't live, that is, we would not be a part of the predestinated, finished plan of God, except the blood came to give us redemption, to get us to a place where we could then begin to fulfill the plan of God. Because, see, the plan always was there. Now, the plan's always got to be fulfilled, because there couldn't be God as God and not fulfill himself. Any God that cannot fulfill himself isn't God. Any Christian that cannot be fulfilled is not a Christian. Hogwash. There's nobody going to tell me a true born-again Christian is not going to make the millennium. He's not going to make your rapture. It's not going to be New Jerusalem. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing under high heaven. Just, why, come on. Couldn't be. Because the sovereignty of God would go down the drain. See, because, Brother Branham kept quoting that little part, that verse where he said, I, the Lord, have planted water, day and light, lest any man should pluck it out of my hand. That's not the exact quotation, but it's good enough for me that the prophet gave it. You go up for yourself. Now, Gentiles, as I have said, who'll pull that sword with me? He wants a fresh drink this morning. Not this old stagnated church creeds and things we're fooling around with. He wants genuine faith in his word who believe every word of it. Now he said, as I've said, who'll pull that sword with me? He's telling you that he went all the way through the Philistines, went right through the ranks of the enemy to get a bucket of fresh water. Now he said, who's going to do the same thing with me? Well, I don't know. It's up to the individual Gentiles to answer the call. Let's go to the well and bring back a drink, a refreshment. Now remember, it's a time of refreshing at the end time. A worship that's built upon not creeds and denominations, but a genuine spirit worship with Christ among us, living his life, didn't say in us, the way he wants to among us. That's not with creeds and different things. Let's just let him have his way. What if the people could have got their thinking away at the time that Brother Branham said, if you only knew who I was or I am, there isn't one of you wouldn't be here. Yay, yay, yay. Just think of 100,000 people here. Well, they couldn't have held auditoriums big enough. But just went over their head. You know. Like a beep, you know, that you see on the scope of a guy that's tuning a car or on your... That's a better thing than looking at these stupid things we got, you know, the tuner and TVs, but our stereos. And the blip around, you know, showing what channels are running. I got them on mine that I don't even look at them, what I look for. But it's kind of interesting to watch a guy tuning a car. Watch the thing blip and bloop and everything else disappear. And that's the way it is with people. It just goes over the heads, but the prophet said. If it goes over the head, brother, sister, I'm going to tell you something. You're in trouble, see. See, so people say, well, I don't want it in my head anyway, into my heart. Well, fap, you're never going to get it in your heart unless it gets in your head. What are you, some kind of a weird? Now, that's not here with creeds and different things. Let's just let him have his way. Now that's, that he said, go and get that bucket of water with me, he said. Come and draw from the same well of salvation that brings us into a genuine spiritual worship
with Christ among us. Now, the point I was driving at was this. If we'd have realized who Billy Branham was and the Christ amongst us, what a difference it would have been. But it's not too late to recognize who William Branham was and who now is. Now, that's one of the big things that's stalemating us at this point. There's not enough sincerity. There's not enough of the definitive revelation of the sobriety of his presence. Let me read you something over here in Jeremiah. I get kind of tickled at some people. One fellow said, I don't know where he said, one thing I cannot find. He said, where it says in that Bible that you did not tremble in my presence. All right, let's find out where it is. I don't tell anybody anything that isn't right, I hope. All right, let's read in Jeremiah 5. Read verse 18. Never mind, we'll take that. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I'll make a full end with you. I will not make a full end with you. It'll come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore to the Lord our God all these, doeth the Lord our God all these things to us. Then she will answer, like as ye have forsaken me, and serve strange gods in your land, that's creeds and dogmas in our day, so shall you serve strange in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob, publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. That's right in our day. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual degree. In other words, he's telling, look, the creator and the maintainer is here, and you're right in his presence. You're not dealing anymore with something that's way down the road. You're dealing with the reality. And he said you wouldn't even tremble. Though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. And they are revolted and gone. Neither say there in their hearts, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, and his season, he reserveth us unto the appointed weeks of the harvest. In other words, the people don't even know that the one with the fan in his hand is here. It's harvest time now. See, he's making the judgment. There it is. That's that verse anyway, if you didn't know where it was. All right. Now the next, how God dealt with the people through the dream. Now the next was how God dealt with the people through a dream in the days of Joseph. All right. Did you notice? A dream is secondary. It's a secondary way of God working. Some people can have dreams, don't mean nothing. You can eat too much and have a nightmare even. And a dream is a secondary way. See? Well, why would God protect his own son through a secondary way? He appeared to Joseph. The welfare of his own child he sent in a secondary way. Did you ever think of it? I believe that's referring to, first of all, to the Exodus into Egypt, when the boy was could have been killed as one of the innocents under Herod, being under 2 years of age. Now, he appeared to Joseph. Okay? Did you ever think of it, why it was done? Because there was no prophet in the land. He had to work through dreams. And it wasn't a dream that had to be interpreted. Now, he switches back to where the dreamer was Joseph in the case of Mary, because he wouldn't have taken Mary except that the angel appeared. And the angel of the Lord said, fear not, Joseph, take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It was an unusual thing for that to happen. God is unusual. And unusual, hard to understand. That's why it's hard to understand truth today. It's so unusual. He's referring to the same thing in this hour. Now let's go back to the unusual truth that he's talking about. A woman to have a baby without knowing a man. Now that's not so anymore. That was very unusual, but that was something could happen back there, an unusual thing. But if you're honest and sincere, God can appear to you yet in a dream. It goes to show that anything that you have, whether it's your mind, whether you can whistle, sing, testify, whatever you can do, if your whole being submitted to God, God can use it if you just let him do it. Then the following night up there, Brother Neville preached on the subject of escaping, how the man escaped. And I thought it was kind of remarkable. This morning, the Holy Spirit seems to have me to deal upon the subject of the light, the very next. Go right on to, in the beginning, how Christ's life started at a manger. We're walking right back through it again in our text. And he didn't know it. I didn't know it, but here it is right the same thing. He's talking about Brother Neville's sermon now. Well, I didn't hear the sermon, so I don't get the connection. Right on, the next thing is where he enters his ministry. And tonight we got something that'll blend right with that to go right on tonight, the Lord willing. Now, a great light. He's going back to his text. He's reading the scripture. Now, a great light. The Gentiles who sat in the regions of the shadows of death, to them a great light sprang up among them. and Zebulun and Naphtali in the way, by the way of the Gentiles, or Galilee of the Gentiles, they saw a great light. Now, the first time of light, that is when we find it the first time in the Bible, is found in Genesis 1 and 3. It was God's spoken word that made the light. God said, let there be light, Genesis 1 and 3, and there was light. Now remember, light comes by the spoken word of God. Now he's going back to the original, which sets the tenor for everything that will have to do with light. Light came by a word spoken. If there had not been a word spoken, there would not have been a light. In other words, God did not gesture with his hand. Now, God could have gestured his hand and said, it's like, the magician says, Alakazam, and gestures with his wand. Well, then it's all hokey pokey. But God doesn't gesture. God uses words. So this is what you got, you're getting oriented to in this message here. You're watching the word for light. Now light, the first time light, we find it in the Bible. The first time we find light in the Bible is what he says, read it. It's found in Genesis 1:3. It was God's spoken word that made the light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So remember, light comes by the spoken word of God. Not the word in his mind, but the spoken word. And light is the vindication or the subject that he has spoke is the light. Now this is a bit obtuse maybe. God said, let there be light. There was no light. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, first of all, see, there wasn't any light. So he said, let there be light. There's your light. See? Now, that's the proof. The light is a vindication of his spoken word. Same thing today. A vindication of his spoken word. Now, when you see his word being vindicated, or other words, made known, proved, that is the light of his spoken word. Okay? In other words, predestinated, visible word, proven word, becomes a light. All right? Without light, nothing can live. There is no life upon the earth today, but one has to come by the light of the sun, in botany life, and so forth. Now, that's true because if there wasn't botany light, there wouldn't be any other life either, botany life. There's no eternal life outside the Son of God. See, he is the light. Now, we find out, I believe, as we study now about this light, the earth was without form. Now, some people argue today in their schools and so forth about the world being many million years old, try to condemn the Bible, say it's wrong. They just don't never read the Bible, that's all. Because the Bible doesn't tell you how old the world is. The Bible says in the beginning God created heaven and earth, period. Then how? We just don't know it. There's a period, that's the end of the sentence. In the beginning God created heaven and earth. Might have been 100 million or billion, whatever it was. How he did it, that's up to him to know, not me. But the world was, the earth, was without form and void, and water was upon the earth. And God said, let there be light. Now I believe that the sun and so forth was already in existence. I believe the moon, as it goes on Genesis 3 to explain it, but I believe what was here, that the world, we were going to use it. And it moved in, there was fog and mist over the earth, making it dark. And God said, let there be light, and the darkness faded away, and there was a cloudless day. And I believe that's God's way of doing things. In the Bible, the next verse says, verse 4 says, he separated the light from darkness, and the light he called day, the darkness called night. And God's word always separates light from darkness, see? It's the word that does the separating, light from darkness. See, laying out the plan again, what you're doing here is getting a thorough orientation and a very depth and understanding of the authority of the word. That either you go by the word or you're gone. You never go where the word goes unless you go with the word, as the word's revealed. I mean, I don't care what promises the word of God makes. And many people can read a promise of the word of God. The minute you throw a creed at it, you're gone. You make void every promise and every commandment and every word of God. Every precept is made void by any participation in it from the human viewpoint, adding or subtracting, or in any way attempting to understand it apart from revelation. Now, the word of God always says separates light from darkness. God ever does the same thing. When he gets ready to use anything, like he got ready to use this old star, calling the earth that, whatever it was, this world, I guess they call the planet earth, He had to separate the light from the darkness. When he gets ready to use a group of people, he has to separate the light from the darkness. When he gets ready to use an individual, he separates the light from the darkness. Now the question comes up, how much separation did God do with Brother Branham? Must have been pretty complete to do what God did with Brother Branham. Light comes by God. That's from or through God. Remember, the light came by a spoken word. The word of God said, let there be light, when there was no light. And he sent the light to separate the darkness from the light. This word of command cleared the sky so the sun could shine in. And his word today is what clears back all the atmospheres of unbelief. Now, you're wondering how you're going to get a perfect faith. You've got it on a perfect revelation. See, don't bat your heads. This is what's going on all around the country, batting your heads. I'm not batting my head. Let God bat his head. Now, pardon me, I don't mean to be vulgar or crude. But what good would it do to bat my head? What good is it for me to try something? The best man ever made on this earth in a human structure was not Jesus, it was Adam. Jesus was a different type entirely. He wasn't Adam. He only took a part. He just took a part of the flesh bit. And Adam flunked the test. So look, don't look at me for anything. I keep telling people, look, I am not Jesus Christ. Don't expect it. I'm not Paul the Apostle. Don't expect it. Except when Paul had a good fight. I am not William Branham, so don't expect it. I don't even like to fight. But I want you to know one thing. And his word today is what clears back all of the atmospheres of unbelief. And an atmosphere is around every earth or every planet. In other words, everything which is contingent to giving of life that has been superseded and now gives death is blasted. That's why there's a new heaven and new earth, which is a dissolution of everything but the foundation. So let's face it, you're going to get dissolved in this end time message of everything but the fact that you're born seed and you're born again. So your thinking has to go. I'm trying to get rid of my thinking. I don't know about you. Mine drives me completely buggy. If I didn't have my perverted sense of humor, I'd blow my brains up before tomorrow morning. It's all that saves me is every now and then I got to laugh at my stupidity and everybody else's, and I see how cruddy everything is, and you just throw your hands up, and what do? You laugh, so you... Oh, of course, it's kind of an insane laugh, I admit that, but at least it's a laugh. But look at the atmospheres are gone. If the atmospheres are gone, you're not breathing that junk anymore. You're not breathing spiritual pollution. What's worse, spiritual pollution or physical? Spiritual. If it weren't for spiritual pollution, there wouldn't be any physical pollution. People are getting this thing backward. Fap. That's why all the people that believe in health and health food stores are all a bunch of cultists. You can't find a chiropractor, hardly anybody's not a cultist. Just down and out cultists. The doctors are heathens. Majority of them. Sorry about that, but that didn't slip out. That was calculated. I meant it. I hate to think of that, but it's pitiful. It's only the word. Brother, sister, let's face it. I tell you distinctly, it is the word, period. Amen. And that's all there is to it. And that word is what's going to bring light. And we've got the perfect faith of the hour, bless God. We've come to full assurance of faith. How? When? In the roughest hour of your life, like Abraham. The time that Abraham had no way, period, of himself or anybody to produce the son, that's the time he arrived to produce the son. Well, praise God. Now, I'm not saying that Abraham wasn't believing. That's what he was believing. That's all he had left was his faith. You know something? I don't know about you people here, but a lot of people, they try to think, you know, make people think when you get old, you psych yourself, you're ready to die. That isn't true. I can tell you right now, the outer man, my outer man's perishing, but my inner man was never stronger. I don't lie to you. I have more inner activity and everything else, youth-wise, life-wise, sphere-wise, than I've ever had. You say, prove it. I can't. You got to believe me because, you see, the outer man is dying. I can't jump up and down. Oh, well, some little jiggy-jiggy thing for about 1 second. 2 inches off the ground if I want to be a complete idiot. But I left the Pentecostals years ago. But I'm depending on the Word. Now, you say, well, that's because you see, Brother Bale, you've come to a place. No, you see, you believe in psyching. I am not psyching anything. God is doing something. Fully on the psychiatrists and these nuts out here. You don't know this, but you can know it now. I'm fed up with this about everything. I'm through with the road. I'm through with preaching through them. Just get me through this year, Lord. Two meetings, one in Columbus and one down here. I may never preach again. I'm not saying I won't. But I may never. I care less. I think it's up for grabs, every man for himself. If people don't want what want him and he's here, they don't want what he's got, well, fine, I'll take your slice any day of the week. I always was a pig. I can eat. I'm like a dog. I eat fast and in big chunks and in gulps. Oh, yes. And a lot, too. I no trouble. You don't want it. I'll be glad to have it. So today is, and his word today is what clears back all the atmospheres of unbelief. A man says, I got this complex. I'm getting rid of my complexes. You know why? Because he's getting rid of them for me. Oh, they'll be gone. Don't worry. I'm going to have the sweet spirit. Don't kid yourself. Yeah, I know you can grin at me. Say, oh, Bill, going to get that sweet spirit, you know. You bet I am. Oh, you're going to be shocked. You talk about having a tizzy or a convulsion. I'm going to be glad to give it to you. I'm going to be so sweet. My poor wife. Poor me. Oh, good, bless. I kid you not. That may sound like a joke, but you see, I'm very serious when I talk about these things because this is a revelation to me. The other day, a little friend of mine, Jim Pooley's little boy, they had thought he had a heart attack, rushed to the hospital. It was an asthmatic condition. Threw the little fella, his heart jumping, him breathing, screaming, couldn't get his breath hardy. Little fella looked like he's dying when we got him here, and I was fixing to go to the hospital, but they brought him here. Took hold of his little hand. I said, what's done? And measles struck the kid. Measles, fever struck the little fella. You watch him in a couple of days. I want to see him again. He'll be full of measles. And he's full of measles, see? Now what? God separates darkness from light, or light from darkness, and he separates death from light. Does it by his word? His word is what always brings this forth. Now remember, he's taking from Hebrews 4 and 12 that the word is the discerner. See? Now the seed was, now listen, he's going a little step further now. Now the seed was already upon the earth. Now he's going to the place after the light, let the earth bring forth. Now, the earth couldn't bring forth till there was light. You follow? Okay, what about what it brought forth? Now, the seed was already upon the earth. I believe God had planted the seed. And just as long as the sun could get to the seed, it began to grow. And that's the reason it only took days to bring forth these things, because the seed was already in the earth. All it needed was light. Now, there's an illustration going to follow. I mean, this is the illustration here about the seeds in the ground and light. And this is going to come now to us. Okay. And that's the way God has today. His seed is already here, his word. The only thing it needs is light on it. And he is that light, for he is the word. Now you say, well, now just a minute, how are you going to make that? Well, it's simple. You see, God gave the command. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, the same one here, because where does the word come from except from that one? And the man, his word is one. Okay, he is that word. He is here, and he sheds light upon the word that is written. See? Now, the word and the light is the same thing. It is. Sure it is. You say, why? Because he said, let there be light. It was a word, and the light came. Light and the word's the same thing. Why? He said, let there be a cow, and there's a horse. And come on, that's not the same thing. The word horse and horse is the same thing. The word cow and cow is the same thing. The word light and light is the same thing. All one word. But he's definitive here, see? He's also definitive in the sense that God is, that Christ is the light of the world, too. So watch that. I don't want to simplify this too much. Now, the word and the light is the same thing. The light in there is the light of the word is the light. The light in there, see, is the light of the word bringing light. Now, let's watch to get what he's saying. The germ of life lays or lies within the grain. The light is what breaks forth and brings forth the life out of the grain. In other words, when light begins to move, it breaks it, it comes forth in a manifestation. Now, it's the life that's doing it. Life is being manifested. Now, you know, light, you can't see life of itself. Now, watch. That's the way in Christ the Word makes the Word do what it's supposed to do. See? The Word makes the Word what it's supposed to do. Just like the light, in that hitting that life in there, makes that life do what it's supposed to do. So you got here who Christ is the light. He's the light. He's the word. He's the whole thing. He is responsible, and he will see that he brings forth what he is supposed to bring forth. See? In other words, you're never going to change the word. If the word of God says a certain thing is going to come forth just that way, a virgin bear a child, she's going to bear a child. We're not going to die but live. We're not going to die but live. So you can't change it. And what is it? It's God causing his own spirit in this hour to bring forth his life that is there into a manifestation. And his life is his word. His life is his light. I don't care which way you go. Because look, God is God. If you call him 50 million different things, he's still God. If he performs 50 million different things, he's still God. So don't get worried about the technical. Just get looking at the spiritual. Now, just like the life in the grain of wheat, or whatever it is, it makes the wheat do what it's supposed to do because it's the light that's in it. But notice, he's talking about the light hitting it. Now, the light shining on the Word brings it to light. God himself revealing the Word brings into life or manifestation. Now, okay, let's go back in. Just like the light, that was my saying that myself. Just like the life in the grain of wheat, or whatever it is, it makes the wheat do what it's supposed to do because it's the life that's in it. So life is only by the Word of God made manifest. In other words, so life only can be made manifest by the Word of God. Now, life only comes by the Word of God made manifest. In other words, it's not that the life isn't there. You see it produced and manifested, but only God can do it. Man can't do it. And God won't have a thing to do with anybody's word but his own. Now, we've had every demonstration that what Brother Branham taught us concerning this hour is absolutely in process. And it's just as much in process and vindicated and visible by faith as when he was here. Now, everybody wants him to come back and do something else. I don't. I want him to come back, and I don't care if he does anything else or not, unless God wants him to do something else. I'm not interested. Now, somebody say, well, you're a pretty gross person. I never said I wasn't a gross person. I just tell you the truth. Because I don't want William Branham doing anything he's not supposed to do. And I don't want him doing anything I want him to do. Yeah. And he was a stickler on that. Did you keep your mitts off of him? And he learned his lesson. He let people run him around, boss him around, do things. Just about killed him. He learned a lesson. Jonah learned his lesson too. Life comes only by the Word of God made manifest. In other words, if there's life has got to manifest itself if it's there. And it's not going to manifest it, absolutely, unless it's God working his own presence and doing his own thing. Now, we got that over here in the book of Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians of 3rd chapter. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant, above all that we ask or think, according to the exercise of his power that is at work within us. That's what it really says. In other words, God himself exercising whatever he himself, of himself, has placed there will bring it, and that's the real thing. Anything else is a counterfeit. That's why gifts without church order will destroy. All right. As long as it is just in the book like this, the Bible, see, it can be questioned still. But when it's made manifest, then you see the product of what it spoke being manifested. Now, what was he saying way back in the Old Testament? A young woman shall bear a child. Now, you say, but Brother Branham always called it a virgin, meaning a woman not touched by man. Yeah, but how come Brother Branham always said that every man believed my daughter is going to be the one to bear the baby? I believe he couldn't help himself saying exactly what the Bible said, which was a young woman. Then what happens? What is the interpretation of the young woman? A woman untouched by a man. Now, that's the real meaning. And when you know the real meaning, then you don't ever think just of a young woman. You think of a woman untouched by a man having a baby. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But the original word is Alma, young woman.
Yep.
Can't change the Word of God. That's what it is. But anyone can have a baby by a man. What is it? Sinner. Fap. Who needs a sinner? Hell's going to be full of them and overflowing. Let's get somebody righteous. See, look at this. This world needs a hero. And the world's looking what? The Superman, the Return of the Jedi, Luke Skywalker. I didn't mean to see him. All I know is that I hear people tell me and I read the ads. And what is it? Darth Gators or something? Let us tell of alligators. Darth Gator, I don't know. I've heard of Gatorade even. I think picture shows are okay if you like them, and they're decent. It's okay. I'm so tired these days. If I'm getting out of bed, I'm doing good. Let alone sit through a movie. But anyway, that's okay if you like it. See, but you see, they're all trying to work up something that won't work. They all got their heroes. We've got our hero. See, like when they put a man in a satellite, you know, up around the orbit. Yours was Billy Graham says, so what? He said, we put a man in orbit 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ the righteous is up there, you know, interceding at the throne of glory. Now. He said, but when it's made manifest, then you see the product, what is spoken being manifested. Then that is light on the Word. In other words, you've got the Word lighted, which means you see what the Word means. So you know what the Word's all about now. Now, the Word said so, and then when it comes to pass, that is life in light. Light bringing forth light. That is life in light. Light bringing forth light. Light brings light. Now keep listening. Light brings light. It sure does. You let the sun go down and stay down. How much life is there? In 24 hours, we'd be icebergs. I don't think we'd last 24 hours. Well, we might last 24 hours a little longer, I guess, because the earth is still a bit warm. But we wouldn't last very many days. There's no way. First of all, if we didn't freeze to death, we'd be bumping into each other and breaking our necks. So that takes care of most of us. So, you know, you're going to die without light. I don't care who you are, or how you are, or what way you die. Without light, you're going to die, period. Right? Okay. Light brings life. Plant the weed out here. Put in the basement, cover it over, it'll never bring forth anything. There's no light there. But as soon as light strikes it, then it brings forth life if it's a germatized seed. That's the same thing it is in the Word. See, the Word is God. And when the light strikes it, it brings the Word to life again. Every age has always been that. Oh, how we appreciate these great things. How that the Word being vindicated is the light of the spoken Word. In other words, proves it to be correct. In other words, the correct revelation is proven to be the correct revelation by the manifestation. See, God said, let there be light. Now, what if He just said it and no light came? Now, what if Brother Branham is supposed to bring a revelation? We don't have a revelation. Everybody's running around a chicken with the head cut off, and there's nothing definitive. All the revelation is, whether there's a prophet in our day, a prophet in our day. So what a prophet in our day? There's hot dogs and hamburgers downtown, too. If you haven't got any money, you can't buy them. Prophet doesn't just come on the scene to be a prophet. He comes on to do a job. He comes on to speak for God, to give you the mind of God, to know the things of God, to make you privy to the things of God, to know where you stand, where other things stand. A prophet turns a corner. So, there's got to be vindication. And there's got to be light. And a lot of people don't like the light. They want the miracles. The miracles attest to the light, to let you know you're in the light. That's what it's all about. It's like the neon light flashing at the corner, or the light flashing is to show you you won't go in the ditch. Or don't see the light flashing and run in the ditch. Or like the guy said, the sign to the bus people. He said, you see the sign to say to the buses, you don't get on the sign and ride the sign. You take the sign and go to the bus and get on the bus. Well, that's what the miracles are all about. Thus saith the Lord, show that God was bringing light. To reveal the life of the Word, because the life is the light. And when the light shines on the Word, it brings forth the light. That's how we're going to make the rapture, brother, sister. Come on, it's not so. Brother Branham doesn't speak in riddles. It just sounds like riddles because our minds are so confused by proper English. We're thoroughly grammatized. We must get ungrammarized. Ha ha, that was a good one. You got it. But I'm very erudite, you know. I'm very intellectual. Intellectual. It was very funny, you know, a lady came to visit us yesterday, and she said that she was a friend of Sister Branham, and especially a friend of Sister Dillard, is a very good friend of Sister Branham. And Sister Dillard told her that before Sister Meadie died, of course before she died, because she always spoke this way, that Brother Vail was the one person that Brother Branham had the most regard for. Now, the point is this, if Brother Branham had the most regard for me, and I'm intellectual, where do the poor rest come in? Just figure that one out. Because he had regard for an intellectual. No regard for God that wasn't intellectual. I don't think you're following me. You'll get it later on. Let us sink in. Let us sink in. Well, the point of the matter is that if a man has a regard for a prostitute, he doesn't have anything for his own wife. Right? And if he had more regard for me being a prostitute, he didn't think much of the bride. Right? Well, get it. Let it sink in. I'm pulling a dinger here in case this tape goes out. I don't mind it going out. Because I'm a little bit fed up with these birds that are far 10 times more intellectual than I am. They've got PhDs and everything else. So I'm going to tell you something. Let's get this flat. I went through high school, which is grade 12 in Canada, and took teacher training, a few things like that, a little university, a few courses, summer school. But I'm going to tell you something. I've never used any education in this pulpit outside what I had in grade 7 when I could stand before any grade 12 or university student and con them out in a test of spelling or English or vocabulary, because my vocabulary is very high. But I'm not a smart person. But I'll tell you what. You can fool anybody if you have a vocabulary. Yes. I speak to far more intelligent people here in this building than I myself am. But also, I have a gift. Right. And that gift has to do with words. So, intellectualism. How we appreciate these great things, great intellects. I want to ask you a question. What does the spirit have to do with the mind? And the mind, the spirit, everything. What if you haven't got a mind? Let that one sink in. What did Brother Branham say? They're only people that are absolved before God by the blood without regeneration. A baby, a little child, or a person that's mentally ill, right? A mental case. So then everybody that's born again has got to have a mind. You better be intellectual. You follow me? I hope you do. You're not talking to babies any longer around here. Look, you brother says, let's get this flat. If you didn't have a mind, and I didn't have a mind, there'd be no communication. But what people don't realize in this message, that mind can be under the Holy Ghost. And what it is, it's far keener than any mind that isn't. William Branham, under the Holy Ghost, literally appalled me, the answers he came up with. Then he was intellectual. Then call him a bum. So much for the fatheads. The spiritual jackasses. Don't take that off the tape, not for $1 million. Because I'm mad these days. I'm fed up, but I'm not that mad, but I'm just fed up. Oh, how we appreciate these great things. If you haven't got a brain, how can you appreciate it? Do you think that Adam could talk with God and Adam didn't have a brain? How the word being vindicated is light of the spoken word. See, God said, let there be light. Now what if he just said it and no light came? What if God talked to an idiot? What if Moses said, blah, 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 blah. You think God talked to a man like that? Let me tell you something, brothers. If the priesthood couldn't even have a deformity. You think a bride is, like Brother Man said, one breast off? What if he just said it, no light come? Then we don't know whether it's true or not. It'd be a pretty good guess it wasn't true. We don't know whether he's all right. Don't know whether he's God or not. Because he just said, let there be light, and there wasn't any. See? Now, I like this. This is pragmatic. You're getting down nitty-gritty. See? So then when God speaks and we see it, then that's the light that shines forth the truth of the Word. There is life, light, and life. Now, listen. All natural life comes by spoken word, and the sun is a spoken word, right? The sun gives light. He let there be light. So the sun broke through, shone, whatever, how you ever worked it. And life comes by that, alright? He said he created a great light in the heavens for the day and a lesser light for the night, see? And all natural life has to come by God's spoken word. A flower cannot grow without the light of God's spoken word shine upon it. For the sun, S-U-N, is the spoken word of God when he said, let there be light, see? It's God's spoken light. Light, not light. He says, God, it is God's spoken life. Sure, because who is doing it? God is doing it. See? And no matter how much people try to say this, that, or the other, it still remains the same. You have to have the sun. So life natural can only come by the spoken word of God. And spiritual life, life eternal, can only come by God's spoken word of life. Now it's got to be a word of life or it won't bring life. A mustard seed if you bring mustard seed. So there's got to be a word of life. And light is in there. Light and life go together. Word of life, word of light. Life was the S-O-N this time. Not the S-U-N that was up there, but the S-O-N for eternal life. Alright. In him is light. And in him is not darkness. And he is God's spoken light. Is that right? Well, certainly. He has to be. He's the Logos. God's spoken word. In the beginning was the word is with God, and the word was God. And it's forever God's seed. And it takes the light of God to strike the word to make it live. Who else is going to strike the word of God but God? To release the life that's in it. And what does it? The life, to release the life in it, is working on it. That's not hard to understand. Not hard to understand. Just let your thinking go. I like to see a lot of guys cope with this, what he's saying here. It takes the light of God to strike the word to make it live. Here's what he spoke. Now let the light shine. Amen. Let the light shine. And the light will bring every word to its right position in a season. Amen. All right, let's just take a look at that. In nature, light and life in the seed unite. Is that right? Now, what do we know about a seed? You got a seed. It's got to have water in the ground, fertilizer. But it's got to have sunlight. Now, the seed itself has a certain amount of moisture, maybe sometimes infinitesimal. And therefore, it'll not grow until it has further moisture. Okay, but let's just look at the light. Let's look at the seed in the ground. All right? It's got to have light before it is going to be a true seed, truly reproducing itself. Now, you put it in a basement like a potato, and a little bit of light comes in there, or no light at all as far as we know, just the most minute. And it's damp down there, it'll throw out sprouts. It'll begin to throw out some sprouts in order to begin to grow. And what happens? Because there's no real light, it's aborted. See, it's gone. That's the way we are. If the light doesn't strike us, the light of God, the best thing we can do, hopefully, is to get saved. But we'll be aborted as far as the bride is concerned. Never make the bride. You've got to have it. Now, what I'm looking at is this seed that's in the ground. And there's the moisture there. And never mind the fertilizer at this point. You've got to have the light if you're going to really bring forth what's in there. Truly. Okay. Now, what is going on really when you see that thing develop is there is a chemistry between the light and the life that is lying there asleep, is dormant. The light brings about a chemistry. It wakes up the life that is in there. Amen. So what you're seeing, light is life, awakening light. And light. Because you already got that little bit of life in there, that little tiny bit of light, that little bit in there. So the life is light, and it's playing on the life to bring it out. That's the way to say it. Okay. You see, he said, when it comes time, sometimes that little grain lays in the earth dormant all through the winter, like seed, winter wheat, sowed in the ground. But when that sun gets just right, oh, it's got to live, see? And it can't live without the sun. And God's made promises for every age and every day. And when the light gets right and shines upon that, it'll produce just exactly what the Word said, because He is the light and the life. In other words, God as light spoke as life manifested. He's all of it. So therefore, to bring forth the life, see, that was the light. They work in conjunction. He himself does it. And that is life, which is manifested, is also light to us. Because look, we're not in the first phase of it. We're in the second phase of it. We're in the second phase of it. See, we're the little seed that's lying here. Now, God's dealing with us. And he's got to deal with light which is light and light which is light. See? And it's the only thing that's going to touch that little molecule that's in here. That little germ, because that's what God has in there. That's his. We came from him. Now then, you watch what happens. You watch out here. A prophet comes on the scene. The word of God comes to life before us. What does that do? That absolutely does everything to the seed. Wakens the seed up. Does a lot of things for him. Okay. Let me go further. And it can't live without the sun. We got this problem for each. Okay. God's word comes only by the Bible. God's Bible is the printed form of the Son of God. Now, what's a printed form? A printed form is a blueprint whereby you can read what is in erection or manifestation, demonstration, in production. See? Okay. The printed form of the Son of God, because the Bible said that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. See? It's God revealing himself through Christ, and Christ is the Word. And it takes the light of God to shine upon that word to vindicate it, which is to prove that God still speaks light, eternal light. The natural light brings the natural L-I-G-H-T brings the L-I-F-E. L-I-F-E comes only by L-I-G-H-T, the word made manifest or made flesh. In other words, something has got to be there with a form. And the form that God is working on, of course, is humanity now. So we got to keep in the flesh. You don't go back to creation out here someplace else. You keep with the flesh. When all the promises become in the Bible, become manifest, is when Jesus Christ the Word was made flesh among us. God always works through men. God is man's subjects. Man is God's subjects. Notice now, made flesh. When the Word becomes flesh, it becomes manifested. Like take the Word and put it in the right position, the right kind of ground, it'll bring forth. The seed will bring forth of its kind. And the Word will bring into the right kind of a heart, it'll manifest itself. You put that word in the right heart, see? It'll manifest. It'll bring forth the light. It'll break forth upon it. All right. Nothing natural, spiritual can live without God's light. Light can only come then by light. This life can only come by L-I-F-E, can only come by L-I-G-H-T. Nothing natural, nothing spiritual can live without God's L-I-G-H-T. Think of it. All right. But when he sends the L-I-G-H-T and does all these things, then we reject it. Now, that's the pitiful part. Is when light, L-I-G-H-T, is rejected when it's sent to us. Now, can you imagine some man saying today, I just refuse to say there's such a thing as a sun. I don't believe there is a sun. He runs down the basement, shuts the doors, sits back in darkness and said there's no such thing as a sun, no such thing as light. You know right away something mentally wrong with that person. See? Well, the man had better be intellectual and he'd shake it out. See, there's something wrong when he runs back in the dark basement and refuses to accept the benefit of God-given light. There's something wrong with him. Now, that's an intellectual man when he refuses to accept the benefit of God-given light. See, that's what intellectualism is right there. He prefers his own. He doesn't want his warm ray. Now, notice, it's not only light-giving, it's warming. He doesn't want its health-giving substance. It's a substance. It's something that's going to work. It's a chemistry. Light is a substance. Now, people say, I don't believe it is. You're wrong, it is. Because it's real. Anything that's real is a substance. In the general sense, in the general form, you bet it is. Even a spirit is real. It's a substance. But it's not substance. Is this is substance and this is substance. But it's substance, don't you think? It's not. The wind is a substance. If you don't think it is, I tell you, you stand on a big high cliff and let a 65-mile wind hit you and see where you go. You have Joe Lewis that hit you in the chin. Wouldn't do you any more damage. Knock you off the cliff and you're gone bongo. See, what we're looking at a reality here that a lot of people don't want to get into because they're back into ages is very ridiculous. One of those ages of of denomination organization. Now, they're getting cool up here. I don't know how long we're going to stay, but I tell you, you can turn that down to about 70, if it's not to 70 or a little lower. But don't just turn the thermostat down. Don't touch anything else. Just take it down a bit. And, cause I'm sitting down, I'm doing good up here. Now he said, nothing natural, spiritual can live without God's light. Life can only come then by light. Nothing natural, nothing spiritual can live without God's light. That's right. That's where it all started. Think of that. All right. But when he sends us the light, see, and does all these things, we reject it. That's a pitiful part. Then they reject it, and the man's like a guy in the basement. He's completely made up. I say this with all love and respect. Now watch. So is there something wrong, or thus there is something wrong, spiritually wrong, with a man that'll run back in his denominations of creed and refuse to see Bible light when it's shining right before him. Now that's your mental fella right there. He won't let his mind get out of the way. There's something wrong with him. He goes back into his creeds and shuts the door and says, there's no such thing as that. The days of miracles is past. There's no such thing as divine healing. There's none of those things. That was for the apostle. The man is spiritually crazy, see? There's something wrong with him. He's pulled down the curtains, rejected the Holy Spirit that came upon him. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, then the light shining on the word. Ask what you will, see? In other words, he puts it right here. The miracles and the ministry that Brother Branham was privy to, that God used, shows that the curtain was all the way up and the light was shining on the word and manifesting that word of this hour. Which was, of course, the prelude to the revelation which brings restoration. See? Now, there's something wrong that he would reject God-given resources that God has given us to live by, his word. The just shall live by faith. In other words, he couldn't even stand still to look at the word vindicated, which word would come forth having been vindicated. This is the truth. Now notice what God is already doing in our position here. It's not like let there be light and there was light. You know, proving it. God already demonstrated the light and the light by the miracles. Then brought his word and said, this is what I'm trying to tell you. There's a difference between the two. And this is more magnanimous. That God, how did Brother Randall put it? God trying to gain favor with us. Using a great ministry to catch the people's attention so he can talk to them. You talk about grace. Amen. See? See, that's why I said, if this Holy Spirit's here, and you've got the Holy Ghost, look what God has done for you. Come right amongst you, showed you he's here, and they said, I want to talk with you. And if you'll sup with me, and I with you, I'll take you to the marriage supper. Well, you can't beat that for generosity. Now, there's something wrong that he would reject the God-given resources that God has given us to live by his word. The just shall live by faith. And man shall not live by bread alone, but every word, not part of the word, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And a man would just refuse that, there's something wrong with that person, something wrong with his experience, that he claims to love God and then refuses God. There's something gone wrong with the person. We know that without a shadow of doubt. He rejects it, runs into this place and says, now, I just don't want to know nothing about it. Don't tell me anything about these things. I don't believe anything about it. Doesn't matter what you say. A fella came to me and I was telling you about it. He said, I don't care if you bring 50 cancers and 50 doctors to testify them. I don't believe. I don't care if you'd raise up the dead right before me. I wouldn't believe it. See, there's something wrong with that person. Yet the man was a minister. What minister? What was he ministering? Death. Oh, he's a very able minister. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely a very able minister. Of death. Sure, he'll get there with him. Now, just because that organization doesn't believe in the power of God, doesn't believe the word meant just what it said, the man runs to his basement. Old, musty, dirty, filthy basement of organization and refuses the warmth and life-giving rays of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, what is the warmth and the light do to the seed? Takes it out of the ground. What's it going to do with these bodies? It's going to take them out of the ground.
Praise God.
Change ours. Time to get warmed up, bless God. Time to get, I'll preach on that sometime. I want to talk a little bit about that, but not tonight. Now, Jesus Christ, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's the spirit that's amongst the seed. Then there's something wrong with that person's seed. He would rather live in that musty darkness and so forth than to live in the light of the God and of the Bible that said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the works that I do shall you do even greater than this because I go to my Father. There's something wrong with that person. Without a question at all, there's something wrong. And you men that's listening to this across the world, wherever you may be, there's something wrong with your experience when you say you love God and refuse his word. Now, you see, that's something, you see, they ain't going to like very well there. See? How can you say you love God and reject the word that's been fulfilled? It's like, see, Jesus said, They have met, if I had not done the mighty works nor the man did, they'd not sin. But now they both seen and hate about me and my Father. And they say, well, just a minute, we see these wonderful works and we don't hate God. If you refuse His word, you hate Him. So you say, I don't believe it. Well, you don't have to believe anything. Just be my guest. I don't care what you believe. I mean, I'm not here to cajole anybody or flatter anybody. I'm not here to make any deals with anybody. I'm here to preach the truth. And it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't count for nothing. If I say wrong, well, God will burn me with my word. But I can tell you what He said. He said, they had not sinned, except they'd done the mighty works which were done amongst them. And He said, but now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. What did it? They saw the works, and they rejected the works, and they hated God. And they'll tell you out there, they got all this love. Oh, they'll manifest it too. To make the kind old priest look like Almighty God, and Jesus Christ look like a crook. Yeah. What did Jesus got the right to upset their money tables when they're supposed to make change, the right change for the sacrifice and all? What right did He have? You're supposed to be able to buy animals. He kicks the whole thing over, says, I'm here, this is the way you do it now. Well, they said, heaven forbid. He lost the money, threw them out of the temple, cracked their knuckles, beat them over the head, whipped them with a lash. Kind old priest looked mighty nice alongside of that fellow. I'm not trying to get anybody abusive tonight. I'm just trying to show you, Brother Branham said, it's time to smarten up. There's a word for the hour. Don't you think the one that has absolved the bride and said, you're the virtuous, righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't that same one going to say, depart from me, you that work iniquity? Isn't he the same one that said, I used to know his wife, but don't know his wife anymore? Well, come on. I'm not God, but I'm going to sure repeat God, and I'm going to side with God too. If that's the way He wants it, that's the way it is. You've got to get sharp, you know. My wife one day said, I don't like anybody that doesn't like my husband. And Jeanette, Belle, she's really cute and fast. And she says, oh, I like him. Well, I'm saying the same thing. I love the Lord. I love His word. I love all of these things. And I realize that if I have to pay a penalty, well, that was natural. I'm not above it. Now, he said, they say you love God and refuse His word. He said, there's something mixed up. There's something wrong. You refuse the very... No wonder that the church is in the condition it's in. And nothing can be done as God promised. It's because you won't even receive the word or walk in the light. The Bible said, let us walk in the light as He is the light. Then the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses us. Sin is unbelief. See, the blood doesn't work if you don't walk in the light. You better get in the light. Why? Because the life was in the blood. You're going to tell me the blood's going to atone and for you so that the life will come out and you refuse the light? Ah, come on, the life and the light's the same thing. You don't separate one from the other. You tell me what part of the creative God do you separate from the omniscient God? Where do you separate omniscience and omnipotence? Where do you separate the judging God who in people's minds is then the justifying God? The judge is the justifier because the judge either justifies or condemns. Where do you separate him? Why do you draw him into parts? That's why they got three gods now. Pretty soon they have 300 of them. Why not? Fat. You talk about ridiculous. No wonder they're a mess. Then if we're walking in the God-given light of the hour, then God takes that word that's given for the hour and vindicates it just like He did in Genesis 1 and 3. He said, let there be light, and the light come forth. God backs His word up, and there it is. There's a word for this hour. His word went forth, light followed it, cleared away the mist. Darkness went to one corner, light shined on the other side. See, now it said His word went forth. It was manifested. See, His word always goes forth. We sent His word to heal him, and so on. Now, that's the way God does today. Notice He keeps bringing it back and forth, Alpha and Omega. He sent His word for this hour, and the Holy Spirit comes and makes that word live. Now, people don't believe that. They say the word has always been backed up by God. The word always lives. No, my brother, sister, it didn't. There's got to come a time when that word lives. Now, that doesn't contain life, but it's got to be brought to life the same as what's in us, that little seed. The Holy Spirit, the life and light of the Holy Spirit shines upon that dormant life in there. And because we are the right ones, we come to life. See? Now, that's the way God does it. He sends His word for this hour, and the Holy Spirit comes and makes that word live. And the darkness goes on to their creeds and dogmas. But the light shines, because it's the word of God being vindicated that this is a true word. Now, could those people stop Brother Branham's ministry? No way. Could organization stop him? No way. Can't do it. See? All right. Now, there's nothing fictitious about that. That's just exactly scriptural. All right. Now, we find that the wise men... Now, he's going back some more illustrations. he's taking another illustration. Now, this is the wise men, the magi, dealing with light. See, because we're dealing with light. Now, we find the wise men. The wise men of old followed... Listen. The wise men of old followed the God-given substance. They followed a God-given substance. They followed the word of God to the light. Because it was the word that brought life. I said, they followed the God-given substance. They followed the word of God to the L-I-G-H-T because it was the word that brought L-I-F-E. Now, there's something in the word that they knew about. And when that substance, which was the star's light, appeared, they knew that the light was the word to them and would bring them light. Now, can you understand then that Brother Branham was the Word to us? The Word of God made manifest. The prophet is a living Word. The prophet is a living Word of God made manifest. Who to us? And you get people wondering and say, "Well, I just can't say that Brother Branham is God to me." Well, now all depends what you're talking about. You talk what I'm talking about, then he's God to me, because I can't get to God and he can. See? You can go down the street and you can't get to the boss, but you can get the secretary. Well, the secretary says, "Here's what the boss said." Well, that's the same as the boss. So if you don't take it, you don't get the boss, period. He said, "Well, I won't settle for the secretary." Then fine, you drop dead. You ain't got the job either. You're out in your ear. People get pretty, I won't pursue that any further. If you got an ounce of memory, you'll know who I'm talking about right there. So I'm mentioning names. Call themselves believers this message. Believe what? They can't let their thinking go. There's no way. They're all scrupled up, as Brother Brand said. They follow the God-given substance. Now you say, how did they follow? Well, they were kind of magi, as we understand. And then we find out that Balaam the prophet back in Numbers 24:17, Balaam was kind of magi himself. He was truly a prophet, and he prophesied here and said a star would rise out of Jacob. When these men, wise men, the magi, saw that word of God, said a star would rise out of Jacob, they followed the little God-given token, which was a God-given substance, to the source of eternal light. See, the word predicated the light. The light took him to the word of life. Took him right to Christ. So, wise men today, who are not blinded by creeds, will follow the God-given spoken word till they see the fullness of the power of God blooming forth in this hour. You stay with the word until the resurrection takes place. And the rapture takes place, you get out of here. They see it. And they know that's it. Here in scripture, God promised it for this day. That's why I see Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, absolutely, with 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. We're not a bit of trouble. That's why I see everything that I see. Why? Because it led there. Like the voice said, within me, this is, if you listen to anybody, this is a man to listen to. A voice said to Mr. Osborne, that's the way it was done in the Bible, you can do it too, so do it. He didn't tell me to do it. He told me to listen. The voice of the sign. I caught right away that sign in his hand that was peculiar. Now I said, I'm intellectual though. I'm glad I got a brain. Because I believe I consider maybe the only living person, perhaps not, but one of the few really living people who caught that sign in the hand. Something was very funny. Because of a voice had to tell him where the cancer was. He didn't need the sign in his hand. All he needed was a voice. Right? Got brains, intellectual. Ha ha. College boy, PhD. Ho 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 ho, LLD. Yeah. God-given substance. Gray matter. Where the spirit works. Let's go to the insane institutions and get a bunch of crazy people. Idiots. Kids with an IQ of minus 10. Read them this message. They'll get it. Well, they'll get it better than some people I know.
I don't take that back either. I said that with a nasty spirit, and I admit it. Now, don't let my spirit get on you, because it's not as nasty as you know, you think it is. I'm not as nasty as I sound. And my bark is worse than my bite, and my breath is worse than my bark. All right. They saw it, no matter how many observatories, how many others told the wise men, you're out of your mind. Now, this is intellectualism, again, against what true mentality is. These men were smart men. They weren't idiots. They were trained. They said, you're out of your mind. They said, we're not out of our mind. We know what we're doing. 2 years passed. They passed many nations. They said, where are you going? Oh, we've seen his star in the east. We've come to worship him. When they lined up in Jerusalem, the denomination headquarters, they didn't have the answer. They went up and down the street crying, where is he born, king of the Jews? They knew nothing about it back there. So they called on the word to find out. They had followed, knowing that the star was leading them to the eternal light. God is by the perfect light. And the word is what guides you to the light. Now watch, the word will guide the light. In other words, if a light is shining, and it indicates as part of the word, then you go to the word to find out. So they said, where is he? So they said, well, tell you what. It says, Bethlehem is where he'd be born. But that's what you're looking for. Well, okay. Right? That's right. Now, the word is what guides you to the light, and the light is what makes the word vindicated. Okay. So there's something in this word here. Well, it says Elijah must truly come. Now, that's what the word says. Okay. There's going to be a light. There's going to be something shine across our path. Elijah's got to come. The word says so. Now let him come. Take it right back to the word. You got her. Okay. Okay. You about ready there? Okay, call it a night. 45 minutes. Okay, well, we'll continue. I didn't get 30 pages done. I got 13 pages done. I wasn't going to get 30 pages done. I was going to get 20 pages done. I didn't get 20 pages. All right. So we're going into the light. We're going to continue this, going back and forth on this, so that you begin to understand, we all understand together, the operation of what Brother Branham was into, how God moves, and how he's moving in this very hour. Let's rise at this time, shall we? Heavenly Father, again we praise you for Jesus Christ the righteous. We thank you for him who died and rose again, mediates even at this moment, anxiously waiting for a bride. Lord, give us a spiritual revelation that our anxiety may be the same as his. Father that stands amongst us, ministering to us, you are not a God that's afar off. We have not attempted to take liberties, we hope with you, Lord, nor your great name, though we might be more than facetious, might be almost downright scurrilous in thinking of other things and mentioning these things. But you, Lord, we love in our hearts and know that you are God. And long as you have spoken to us and set us apart, really all that is all that matters. But here we stand tonight, Lord, and we do take our stand for your word, and we know that it becomes richer and reader all the time. And we're not even a John the Baptist. We're not a Peter. We're not a Paul. We're none of those people. We're not like William Branham, but we're standing here in our hour. And we know, Lord, that there is an absolute sufficiency of grace and strength and power and all those things that are necessary whatsoever more be contingent to it in our lives concerning this word that we are going to walk into the kingdom of Almighty God. We thank you for it. Lord, hasten that great day, we pray. We just ask you, Father God, to hasten, especially within us, the strength and the power of the consecrated life and the life that is imbued with the Spirit of living God according to the living Word. These things, Lord, we would love manifested in the realms of faith that absolutely annihilates all the atmospheres of unbelief. And here we stand in this hour, Lord, in that perfect condition for which we thank you. Blameless, righteous, spotless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without guilt, coming behind in nothing, lacking nothing. Pearly gates open. Paradise open wide. Eden, waiting, yearning for us as we're yearning for it. Knowing that eternal life, immortality, with the tree of life is right here at this hour. We thank you for it, O God. We stand on it. Lord, we know that within ourselves there is no way that we can depart this earth. We just no way, Lord, that time is going to go on and on and on. that with this people standing here tonight is going to be buried in another generation of another generation. We don't believe that. We believe this is the end of all things. This is the consummation which we're very grateful, Lord. Now be with us as we go, Heavenly Father. Keep your hand upon us for continued good, O God. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ rest and abide upon each one of us. And may we come together, Lord, for the weekend. May it be a time of rejoicing and fellowship. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Now don't forget the next Saturday night is communion. Two services this weekend. So keep that in mind. 7 o'clock as usual. And also, I phoned the Bradises, the baby they were worried about, because it has a slow heart with a bit of an irregularity. The doctor said there's no problem. Many children are that way. Doesn't mean that the baby's perfect, but it doesn't mean that it's imperfect. So everything is fine there, and no harm. And no doubt we'll grow up and grow out of it, hopefully grow out of it. And in the meantime, we can pray for the baby. You pray for it. It won't even have to grow out of it. It'll just simply leave it. So that's pretty well everything. So I don't know who it is that takes care of the communion bread or the Lord's Supper bread. And now, listen, let's be careful how we make it, because there must not be anything other than the ground up wheat, which is usually whole wheat and water. And if you want it crisp, is the only way I know how I would do it. I roll it real crisp and make it a little bit brown so it's brittle. That's not necessarily chewy. It's brittle. It'll be chewy, all right. But please don't put oil or anything in it, because it's not supposed to have it. Remember, the bread was made without anything. You can't add or take from it. And remember, they did anoint loaves, but we have no record of anything being anointed in our meetings. So make it very simple. I imagine the service is cleaned up in here. And there's not enough wine at the back. I think there is. The deacons can look into that tonight. See, that's there. And the Bradises will be down this weekend. I talked to Sharon. She said they'd be looking to come on down. Perhaps the baby will be dedicated. That's fine. And we'll be more or less then looking.